Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, presented by Cooper Tires. We are back for our second short form IMSA GTD Champion Podcast. This time it is with the pros pro, Brian Sellers, his young Jedi, young teammate Madison Snow from the Paul Miller Racing Team, along with endurance racing co-driver Corey Lewis. Get into the team itself, this kind of fun and different dynamic, big old tall kid like Madison, bit of a more compact ace in Brian. Definitely two guys who, from the outside, you would think there's no way they'd mesh. Just two totally different places in life, and yet they work together perfectly and have come up with a pretty amazing thing. Also, surprisingly, this is Brian's first big major sports car championship or championship of any kind. And also with Madison, knowing how much promise he showed, all the success he had as a young, young kid, he as well, sitting here with brand new IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship GTD crowns. So we get into that, the team itself, team owner Paul Miller, who is a great character, also has a very unique approach that I think helped them to deliver the success that they have earned this year. Then we close on some of the cool and fun characters that they went up against to get this title. I definitely think this is going to be a IMSA GTD season to remember because of the quality, because of the fun, and how hard everyone had to race to get what they got. If you're new to our podcast, we'll let you know that you can subscribe and get every episode on iTunes, also Podbean, which is our host. You can go to Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher. We also have our Marshall Pruitt Podcast Facebook page, where I drop everything the moment that it comes out. All right, off we go with Brian Sellers, Madison Snow, new IMSA GTD champions, all courtesy of Cooper Tires. Well, I get to speak with Brian Sellers and Madison Snow and say, how's it going, champs, for the first time? Because, dang it, that's what you all earned. How's life as big ballers now in the GTD category?
I'm going to be honest, I haven't slept a whole lot since the end of the race.
Well, you got kids to put down.
Little sore.
Of the things that I find most unique about your new GTD title with the Paul Miller Racing Team guys, it's that from the first eight races, you stood on the podium seven times. Obviously, there were wins involved there as well, but just the absolute consistency of what you achieved. Before we get to some of the other highlights, let's start there, because, man, we don't see that kind of consistency very often in endurance racing.
It was pretty wild. I mean, Madison and I talked at the beginning of the year and said, if we can finish on the podium, you know, 80% of the races, we'll win the championship, no problem. Little did we know that that actually wasn't going to be the case this year, because the 86 did the same thing.
And what about for you, Madison?
Yeah, I mean,
we think at a younger age, there might be a stereotype that you're just going to be going out trying to, you know, conquer everything in front of you. But, man, maturity obviously had to be a big part of getting podium after podium and not overreaching.
Oh, I think some of that rubs off from Brian, you know, giving me a goal to set, keeping me in line. But at the same time, I have to rub off on him and to keep him relaxed and to keep him having a good time.
You hear what happens there, Marshall? The old age and bitterness, you know, gets to you a little bit. So you need a young one to keep you going.
Well, but see, I mean, Madison's had a bit of a formula, though. I mean, we got to check for a pulse every now and then. He's just, you know, there's a level of chill, which clearly is working. But, guys, tell us, maybe starting with you, Madison, tell us about this teammate dynamic. I mean, other than maybe having one of the greater height disparities between teammates, personality-wise, it's not as if you two are the same by any means. I mean, you know, Brian's married and father and all kinds of other duties as well. You guys are different stages of life, but man, if we didn't know who was in the car, it'd be hard to tell that there were any differences.
Yeah, it's a pretty funny difference. You know, I grew up watching Brian race, but not knowing him. I mean, I knew him, who he was on the track, but not who he was as a person. And then we did a test at Road Atlanta, I guess that would have been 3 years ago now, and, you know, met him then, and then got along all right, and then just got to know him a lot better and a lot better. And it's definitely, like you said, the different stages of life. You know, my co-driver before him was a little more wild and a little more, I don't want to say fun, because Brian is a lot of fun. I think wild is a better characteristic. But then, I mean, Brian, we get along great. It's cool to have him, like, take me into his family and with Jamie and his two kids and everybody, and get to, you know, hang out and relax with them. We get along great.
And Brian, for you, we're having fun with your age. You're not that old, but, you know, you are definitely older than Madison, but you've done a lot of driver coaching throughout the year. You've been mentored by some great people. You've been on both sides of the age dynamic as a teammate. What is it about Madison that you found that worked in terms of producing great results as a tandem, but also, you know, saying, hey, all right, I like this kid. Let me invest more, whatever I can, into him to make him, you know, as good as he can be?
Well, you know, you're lucky when you have, I'll say, a good student, although I'd say he's not necessarily a student, but you're lucky when you have someone that you can work with that really grasps what you're trying to do. I think one of the biggest things for us was just coming to an understanding of what we both want, what we both need, how we're going to go about getting it. And, you know, it's funny to see it all grow over the years. And I would say one of the, you know, I don't feel like I ever sat down and really taught Madison anything per se. It was constant conversations between the two of us. And, you know, we've spent the last 3 years together basically nonstop. When you go to the racetrack, he is a part of my family. He comes to the motorhome. He holds my kids. He helps us get them ready for bed. You know, I mean, he is a part of the family. And so what you end up doing is you kind of learn. I think you learn together. You talk about things that you would like to see done with the car. You talk about different ideas, things that you found on the racetrack that day, things that maybe I was looking for that he hadn't, or vice versa. And I think that's how you grow. I don't think there is ever a time where, you know, I sat there and said to Madison, hey, you need to do this, or he did the same to me. It's just been very different kind of process where we can look at each other and say, hey, you know, I tried that. I didn't think it worked. This is what I went. This is what I found. And so I think it was very much a team.
Let's talk a little bit about...
I think it's a lot easier to learn when you can be friends with the other person and you're around them and you go to dinner with them and you hang out with them, you know, after the track, because then you can talk about that stuff. But it's not like you get out of the car and you go in the trailer and you just sit there and talk only about that for an hour. Like, to me, that's boring. Like, you have to have, I mean, you got to make it enjoyable. And so, you know, talking about it after the session is great, but it's nice to break it up, have a good time, you know, with your teammates and learn from them, you know, constantly, and not just in one small time.
When I was a kid, I would go out on the back deck after my dad would get home from work, and all I'd want to do is talk racing with him because, you know, he was an amateur racer. That's where I got my passion for the sport. And so growing up, that's all I wanted to do. And I do remember a point, kind of piggybacking on what you mentioned, Madison, where my dad said, you know, I love racing. I love talking about racing. Sure would be nice to be able to talk with my kid about something else, though. You ever thought about maybe expanding your horizons? You know, it was like, oh, okay, me look at other things. Be a more well-rounded human. So I love that comment. Let's talk about the third member of the family here, only in for a couple rounds per year, but Corey Lewis. I mean, the two of you plugging in and being a seamless duo, we know that, we saw that. You guys are in the car constantly at every round. What's it like having someone who I assume you know and trust well, but, you know, you get some momentum going, you got the championship on the line, All right, well, let's bring in Corey, obviously, for a petite or for wherever. How does he blend in, and is there any sensitivity to, all right, man, we got a good thing going, just don't blow it?
I have to say he's the best co-driver, or, I mean, you know, third driver, co-driver that we've had. It's difficult because you need a driver, you know, first of all, that's fast and can stay out of trouble. But those two check boxes, I feel like, are fairly easy to mark off. There's a lot of people out there, you know, everybody in our series, per se, that's fast and can stay out of trouble.
Sure.
But it's finding somebody that, you know, does those, but then also doesn't already have a ride, isn't already taken, and gets along good with the team. And those are the aspects that don't necessarily, you know, make the racer, but they make it a lot easier to work with them and very enjoyable to work with them. And so it's easier for all of you to improve together.
And I think, you know, it's a very unenviable position, the third driver position. You have to come in, you have to say enough to be respected, but not too much to make everybody mad. You have to be fast, but not too fast, because then it looks like, you know, all you're trying to prove something. And so it's just a very difficult thing. But, you know, one of the things that Madison and I talked with Corey about when he came and did Sebring is, and Madison and I had the conversation early on, that there's never a finger pointing in our program, certainly not between the drivers, because when you're out there, I expect, Madison expects you to race the car like it was your car. And I would have, you know, I would rather see Madison have contact every single race, trying hard to bring the car back in the lead, than say, hey, I took care of it for you and, you know, just avoided everything. And I think that's the same conversation we had with Corey, is, listen, if you're going to be a part of this program, you're not here, you know, just to kind of dot the I's and cross the T's. You're here to pull your weight and to do something. So drive the car, drive it like it's yours, race it like it's yours, and we'll see what happens, you know? And I think for me, it's the healthiest way to be.
And I would say that there was a definite testament to the bond that you all had, in that you just look at the photos of you guys during the weekend, and I'm not just talking about celebrating, but just during the weekend, and there's that sense of ease. And I mention that because I look at photos or just see in person at some of the endurance rounds where you see the guy who's flown in from Germany or wherever, and person's there to do their job. They're very good at it, but they're kind of on an island. You can see that they're just not fully integrated within the family of that team. So pretty cool that Corey was able to just be that perfect teammate on demand. Let's stick with the family theme, guys. Had a long conversation with your team owner, Paul Miller, in Monterey, and mentioned to him how impressed I was with the desire to stick with this package of drivers and the car and make minimal overall program changes in an effort to get more out of it and obviously get to the promised land of a championship. That's in context to maybe, or contrast to maybe some teams that are like, okay, this thing we didn't like this year, so we're going to blow out this driver and we're going to change chassis and, you know, a lot of annual change. Tell us about Mr. Miller and this steady hand of his that seemed to have really paid off in this championship you're now celebrating.
You know, I think that's a pretty interesting point to bring up, because for people that don't know Paul, you know, it's obviously hard. He's kind of the man behind the whole deal, and you don't see a lot from him. You don't hear a lot from him, and he wants it that way. He doesn't want to be the goal and the focus. But the one thing I can tell you is, from a driver's perspective, is he is a driver, was a driver, is a team owner, you know, and so he understands. He understands that there's so much that goes into it. And I think when he looked over the past 3 years, what he saw was a ton of potential and at multiple times. And what he also saw was, early on, I'd say probably in the first 2 years, was just a little bit of a lack of execution. We just couldn't get everything to come together. And so I think he felt like if he continued to just fine tune and change small pieces and, you know, polish some of the cogs and the clock, that eventually it would click at the right time. And I think that's what you saw this year. You just had small movements, small changes, and then we were finally put in a position where we had everything we needed and we could execute, and the end result was obviously fantastic.
I mean, it's a difficult decision, you know, at the end of the year, whether you're saying, oh, it's which driver, the manufacturer, you know, because, you know, I don't like the car, I don't like these guys, for whatever reason. But you got to look at it to be, you've already made it so far with the people that you have and the car that you have, you know, and the team as a whole, that you pull out 25% of that, that chunk and try and put something else into there, you got to reteach that, you know, adjust to that all over again. So, I mean, it is easier, I think, to stick with the same group, to stick with the same car, but it also works and it makes it enjoyable so that you're not, you know, working on changing out the big pieces so that you can fine tune the small pieces that make everything, you know, go together smoothly.
Let's close on this, guys. I am assuming and I hope that the two of you really enjoyed the quality of competition and also the characters that you went up against this year for the GTD title. First of all, Catherine Legg, what an amazing story in what was supposed to be just an NAEC program, comes out of Daytona with a real chance, and they keep finding a way to keep her on track and in the fight. And obviously, you all went down to the finale to determine who would get the title. Ben Keating and Jaron Bleekemolen, two hilarious, awesome guys. Crazy Cooper McNeil's in there. Pat Long, Christina Nielsen, Lally and Potter, Parent, etc., etc. Just share some closing thoughts on what it took to get this championship, going up against some amazing names and also some pretty fun and funny people, too.
It's amazing how, I mean, Catherine was the one going for the championship with us, but every different race, there was somebody else, another car, another driver that we were racing for a podium with. You know, it wasn't like it was two people, you know, took off, you know, and were always on the podium, or three people took off. It varied per track, you know, how their car handled, how good their setup was. And that's what made it fun. You know, you weren't always battling the same person. You got to battle the entire field every single race.
And I think when you look at the names you listed, it's incredible. The beginning of the year, after we finished Sebring, you had people coming to us like, oh, you know, you guys already, you're doing great. This is going to be your year, especially with the Acura not coming back after Sebring and only doing the endurance races. And Madison and I kind of laughed at the beginning because we're like, first of all, they're going to do all the races. There's no question they're going to do all the races. And second, I want him to do the races, and he wanted him to do the races, not just the Acura, all these cars. Because, I mean, for sure, if you want to say you're a champion, you want to say you're a champion beating some of the best people. And, you know, I feel like we could say that. I mean, you can just go through the list. You know, the Catherine Legg, the Alvaro Parent, Pat Long, Jack Hawksworth, you know, I missed a million of them, right? But the list is never ending. And when you put your name up against those people's names, you feel strong about what you accomplished.
Well, this is the part where I say embarrassing things. Brian, I'm so happy for you to have gotten this championship. I don't feel as if you needed it from a validation standpoint. We've known for a long time you are one of the best there is, but I'm happy for you to have this championship just to make sure that you got one, to at least show your kids when you're old and retired that Dad didn't suck completely. Also, as one of the true gentlemen and nicest guys in any paddock, and Madison, for you as well. I mean, I guess it was never really a question for me that you were going to be an IMSA champion at, you know, the top tier categories, but I'm also sure that we aren't looking at your one and only. So just great to see two good people who've dedicated themselves to sports car racing, work together, achieve something amazing with a great team. And yeah, A, get some sleep, sellers. Come on now. And B, Madison,
yeah,
you know.
I know.
I guess coach the old man a little bit here on how to party, but without wearing himself out.
Before you let us go, Marshall, Madison and I want to both wish you and your family the best of luck and know that the whole racing world's behind you. We love you, man.
Wow, thank you so much, guys. Wish I could have been there to help celebrate with you, but we got plenty of time during the off season to tell some more tales. And next thing you know, you're going to have a bunch of people trying to take those titles away from you. So thanks again, and we'll speak to you guys
soon.
Thank you. Fun phone call with Madison, with Brian, and hopefully we can do something else a little bit later in the year as we get ready, looking forward to 2019 in their efforts to defend this new GTD championship. Congratulations again to the Paul Miller Racing team. Just gotta love what they have done. Gotta love the faith they have placed in one another and the reward that came for it. All right, I'm Marshall Pruitt. This is the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, presented by Cooper Tires. Thank you for listening.